Wisconsin is one of the top maple syrup producers in the nation. Sure, there's Vermont and, of course, New York. Maybe Maine is number three, or maybe it's us. And Wisconsin has millions of maple trees. Most of them, almost all of them, are yet untapped. But do we know how many maple syrup producers Wisconsin has? And why would it behoove us to know? I'm Lee Rayburn, and our next guest is Scott Cohn. He's the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association. He makes his own maple syrup in Medford and is also a dairy farmer. And if you have questions about maple syrup making or enjoying, or Wisconsin's place in the maple syrup industry, you're welcome to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you tried making maple syrup on your own, you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. And Scott, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be here.
So, for starters, can you share a little bit about the process of making maple syrup? It is slow. It is a labor of love. It takes a lot of time, I imagine, and a lot of sap.
Yeah, it does. You know, for starters, we start in the spring, as most people know. We need, after coming out of winter, we got to get into some weather where we start getting some freeze-thaw cycles, and that's when we blow out and tap the trees. Every year you have to drill a new hole in every tree and place a tap. And whether you're hooking that to, there's a lot of various different ways to collect the sap, whether you're hooking it to tubing or collecting in bags and buckets. There's numerous ways to do that. And yeah, from there, then you have to take the sap and turn it into maple syrup. Because believe it or not, when it comes out of the tree, it just looks like water. And it has a little sweet taste to it, but it looks like water. And we got to make that into some sticky gold, right? And so then, of course, the traditional way of doing that is taking that and boiling it over a lot of different ways. Any way you can boil water, you can boil maple syrup over wood fire, propane burners, and then, you know, we have evaporators today that are filled with fuel oil or wood. There's a lot of different ways, but traditionally it takes about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup.
that is a lot of reduction.
Yeah, so you can imagine if you had 40 gallon jugs of milk, you got to boil off. If you were boiling that on your stove, that's a lot of steam that's got to come off to make 1 gallon of syrup.
But seriously, Scott, that just speaks to how much it's worth it every time for every gallon.
It is. And today with modern technology, we have machines, reverse osmosis machines that they can do a big part of the work. They can take as much as 75% of that water out of the sap before the boiling process starts. So that can reduce the labor by a lot with those as far as the boiling process.
And before we get to your role as a president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association, a little more on your role as a maple syrup producer yourself in Medford, Scott. How many trees are you tapping every spring?
So I tap about 5,000 of my own, and I get sap from about 500 to 1,000 more, and then I boil all the sap from that. And we produce anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 gallons of maple syrup every year.
And do you use that reverse osmosis process?
I do. I have a high vacuum tubing system in my woods to help with make the collection of the sap easier, and I do have a reverse osmosis machine to help with the labor in cooking down the maple syrup.
I've seen those tubing systems in the woods before. They are very neat, kind of like a sap highway inside the forest.
That's exactly what it is. It's like a river. It flows down, flows from the tree to the tank. Yep.
Pretty sweet, literally. And then could you explain a little bit about this reverse osmosis process and how that works more efficiently than just boiling and boiling and boiling?
Yeah, so the reverse osmosis, it is a machine that there's high-pressure filters in the vessels, and it's essentially filtering the sap, and the purified water is we're actually making purified water, but that in our terms is the waste product, and we're keeping the concentrate, which is what's called, which is what we keep, which is the concentrated sugar from the maple sap that we keep off of the machine, off of the RO machine.
Purified waters are pretty perfect byproduct.
It is, I get asked a lot. Well, and because I refer to it as when you buy, you can buy water, bottled water in the store that is
reverse osmosis.
Reverse osmosis.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's essentially the same process as what we're doing, except we're our byproduct is the purified water, and we're keeping the bad. I shouldn't say the bad stuff. Well, if you were making water, it'd be the bad stuff. We're keeping the good stuff, and get rid of the water. And I get asked a lot, well, why don't you bottle the water? And the short answer to that is just it's a volume thing.
Sure.
There's so much in a short period of time, and it's only for a month out of the year that we have this, and you have so much of it at once. You just the handling it just isn't really feasible.
Yeah, but on the other hand, maple syrup water really does sell itself.
Yes.
From the sap of the maple tree of Wisconsin, it is pure bottled water. But then you got to deal with the bottling and all that. Understandable. Scott Cohen, our guest. Now, from the perspective of the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association, do we have a handle on how many maple syrup producers can be found in Wisconsin and what makes it among the top of the list in the nation?
There is, and I wish I had a number right in front of me. I don't have a number of the exact number of producers, but our Wisconsin maple industry has been booming in the last few years, and that's a big part of why we were always stuck at number four in the country for maple syrup production, and years ago it seemed like we'd never, you know, that just was where we were. You had the big three, you had Vermont, you had Maine, you had New York, and you weren't going to catch them, and now we've been growing, we were creeping up, We actually had a gentleman from Maine that came to Wisconsin as a speaker. He worked for the extension out there, and this was before we surpassed them. He said they were getting worried out there because we were right on their heels to take the number three spot, and that's just a testament to how the industry has been growing and doing and thriving in the state of Wisconsin.
What's the reason for the growth of the maple syrup industry in our state as you see it, Scott?
I think, as you said earlier, the one thing is the untapped potential. Mm. There's so many maple trees that are available to tap. And just the way the industry has gone, it's become easier. With the technology, with the tubing systems, with the reverse osmosis, it's becoming more accessible to grow the industry, and I think just more interest in it, and then also marketing of it. We can market more of our state syrup out of our state, whereas it used to be our syrup here we would use some here. And there was only so much of a market. Now it's been growing the maple, not just the maple industry in Wisconsin, the entire maple industry in North America has been growing very, very well. And it's just that we have the capacity to really grow a lot here in Wisconsin.
And I have learned the easy way that you can use maple syrup in every meal. There's always a place for it, from breakfast to lunch to dinner. And I think, it used to be considered something for a sweet breakfast, but it can also make a perfect complement to a savory meal. I love it in a marinade. I love it in dressing. Shoot.
Yeah.
I bet you're like me. I just love it everywhere. There's no bad place to put a syrup.
Yeah, it's definitely syrup's just not it's not just for pancakes. It's, you, like you said, you can use it three meals a day in different ways. Yeah.
There was a survey done a few years ago from the UW Extension that tried to put a finger on what was making the growth in the maple syrup industry in Wisconsin. And a few things stand out to me and from these results. One is that a majority of these producers have been doing it for less than 10 seasons. They seem to be relatively new in the industry. And another one is about 90% of them appear to be private landowners from this survey. Scott, what was your takeaways?
Yeah, that was, that was kind of one of the, we helped along with some of that research the Extension was doing. And, it's always looking at the information and, seeing, where are our producers at, what size are they, and where they're growing. And I think that's, as I said, that was one noticeable thing. There's a lot of producers that are relatively new that haven't been doing this for a lot of years, and that's a that's part of one of the things we try to work towards in the association is how can we not only get those people into the association where we can where we have the education and the resources, how can we get the information of what these producers are doing to the state and to the and on a national level, so we know where our state's at, so we have a finger on how many producers we have, how many trees we're tapping, and how much syrup we're making exactly. That's one of the things that we're trying to do, and it is a little difficult at times because you do have the private landowners that are making it for themselves or just doing a small amount, and they don't think to report what they're doing. Because they're not making a living out of it necessarily.
But there would be some benefits, I would imagine, to find out exactly how many maple syrup producers are in Wisconsin. What would those benefits be as you see it?
Yeah, there are a lot of benefits to know, and it, just looking at, just programs that, that the USDA does, For helping maple producers and maple production as a whole, just knowing how many producers there are and how much syrup we're producing, kind of gives you a better pull with some of those programs. And there's grants and different things available for maple producers through that if we know what our production and our producers are.
Scott Cohn, our guest, dairy farmer, maple syrup producer in Medford, and president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. And it sounds like you want to hear from all of the maple syrup makers across Wisconsin, Scott, and you'd like to find out what they're doing, how much they're doing, and how you can help. What's the best way to, if I'm a maple syrup producer, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of us and to contact us and to tell us what you're doing is to go onto the WMSPA website, which is wismaple.org, just wismaple.org, and you go into our Hot Topics section, and you'll find a link for our fifth annual maple production survey, and that's a it's an easy way to do it. We've talked about it at our meetings. The hardest part about doing it is deciding to go on and do it. It's simple. It's short and sweet. We've streamlined it to make it user-friendly and so that we get the information we're looking for, and it really takes 5 minutes to do it. I said it's just a matter of making up your mind to go and do it.
Wismaple.org, and you can find the survey there, and participating in the survey may help the industry and may help you down the road. But you don't have to wait until then to get a hold of the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association here in Wisconsin. You can also join us now with your questions, or if you're a producer yourself, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, as Tim in Kalamazoo did. That's Michigan there, Scott. And he emailed to ask if tapping silver maples is worth it. Tim said he's heard that silver maples produce a little less sugar than traditional sugar maples. Also, how deep should he be drilling a tap hole in a tree? And what minimum diameter tree would you recommend? Three questions there.
Yeah. So first question, all maple trees make sweet syrup. There is a difference in the sugar content and amount of sap produced from the maple tree. But if you have silver maples, go ahead and tap them. They're going to make some great tasting syrup, just like sugar maples. And a lot of that even can depend on just the wood's location and terrain of your woods can vary as much as the species of the maple tree you have. So if it's a maple, go ahead and tap it. You're going to make some great syrup. As far as when you get to tapping depth is usually about 1.5 to 2 inches. Shallower than that, you're going to kind of lose a little bit of sap production. Deeper than that, you're just causing more harm to the tree than is necessary. You'd have to refresh me on the third question.
Yeah, the last one is the minimum diameter of the tree that you would recommend for tapping.
So the minimum for one tap is 10 to 12 inches. We like to have a 10 to 12 inch tree. It's recommended a lot of actually today with a lot of the research and a lot of the studies is really just one tap per tree. Larger trees, 24 inch in diameter or larger, can have two taps in them. The real goal is the longevity of the tree. We don't want to hurt the tree. And that tree, every time you drill a hole in it, you're putting a scar in that tree. And so with over tapping, you can put too many scars in the tree for what the tree is going to be able to grow. And over time, you'll have difficulty finding new places to tap the tree.
It's interesting to me that it can be a renewable resource if you do it right and know what you're doing. You could actually hurt your ability at production if you go about it the wrong way or get greedy.
Yeah, a huge factor of production out of the tree. I always tell everybody when they come to my farm, I can't make syrup in the sugar shack. I have to make it in the woods. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, everybody thinks you go in the shack. That's where they see the syrup rolling off the evaporator. That's where you make it. The only syrup I can make in there is the sap that I get there. It starts with drilling the hole. And if I don't do a good job in the woods, that's going to impact the yield. And one of the biggest ways to do that is actually drilling a bad tap hole. And if you drill by, as I said, in that scar, there's a scar that extends about 2 feet above and below and about an inch or two on either side of the hole. If you drill into that, it's essentially dead wood and can produce little or no sap. And so that's why I say you don't want to over tap a tree, and you want to make sure the tree is big enough to grow for what you're taking out of the tree.
The syrup is made in the forest, not in the sugar shack. It's wisdom, wisdom. let's go to Adam in Madison next. Adam, hi.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. So I had a couple questions. The question I had was, I was really trying to figure out how to tap trees that are in the median areas in cities. I live in Madison right now. In the past, I had silver maples that I had tapped. But there's all sorts of beautiful sugar maples around my neighborhood that I'm kind of wondering if your guest has any insights into, you know, how that's been done publicly. Thanks so much.
I too am in Madison, Adam, and I too would be interested in tapping our sugar maples, but I don't know about the legality or potential. I don't know whether that would be right or wrong or even a possibility. Scott?
As far as I would know, I'm assuming you're asking about trees that would be on the city's property or along that lines.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the median.
So I think that would be a matter of going to the city or the township or whatever district you're in and talking to the city council and just getting permission. I think that's where you'd have to start. I don't have an answer on that in within city limits or within township limits.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of people in towns that I see, and some of that might be private property. Some of it might be in medians. But I think that would just be a matter of the best way to do it would be to reach out to the city council or whoever is in charge there and ask them about it. And if you're good and ask them, I would say as long as they don't have rules or regulations against it, it's probably a good possibility that you would be able to do that.
Well, I would just suggest for Adam and anybody else, if it's the neighborhood's trees and you tap them, then it has to be the neighborhood's syrup. You're going to have to share.
Well, yes, yeah. Once you start, you might be going down a rabbit hole of everybody's going to want in on it.
You're
going
to start some syrup fights in the neighborhood if it gets down to it. But it is interesting because I'll go back to the survey from a couple of years ago. And again, you've got a survey ongoing now at wismaple.org, finding out who the maple syrup producers are in Wisconsin, how they're doing, and what they're doing. We've got millions of maple trees in Wisconsin, most of them left untapped, and 90% of the maple producers in Wisconsin are private landowners, that this is coming from their own personal property, Scott.
Yeah, that's one of them things, you have landowners out here, and there is a little bit of incentive with that for landowners in the country. A lot of townships and areas, you can get a little bit of a tax break. You can take recreational land, and now if you start tapping trees on it, you can turn that into a forest production tax assessment, and that'll help a little bit on the taxes, along with you get pure maple syrup of your own that you've produced on your own,
right?
And possibly have the potential to have some extra income there, and that's just And again, as I said before, it's just there's a huge untapped potential in Wisconsin, and people, I think, are realizing what they can do with that.
What role could the changing climate in Wisconsin play on the future of the maple syrup industry?
There's actually a really good speaker the speaker I mentioned earlier from Maine, and he talked a lot, and I refer back to his to him speaking on that, and he was talking about the changing climate and the climate's changed forever. There's no argument. As he affecting the maple industry, the way he said it is with all of the studies they've been doing over the past 50 to 100 years. Really, what the biggest effect he sees in the nearer future, or the near to long term future for the maple industry, is that the seasonal. He said it doesn't look like it'll affect. It's not changing fast enough to say we're not going to have a maple season, but instead of and I think I do feel that I've noticed that in our maple woods. It was always about the middle of March we would start tapping trees, and that's when our maple production season would start. And the last 5 to 10, I don't know if I want to quite say 15 years, but last years, it's been the end of February, beginning of March, we've been starting our maple season. And so I don't think he's far-fetched on his climate statistics. And I don't think there's any reason to worry that we won't be able to make maple syrup. But I think some of the old wives' tales of waiting till March 14th or the middle of March to tap trees have to be questioned a little bit.
Does that shorten the season for being able to tap these maple trees?
I haven't noticed. Again, from our standards and from a lot of people that we talk to, I don't think it's shortened the season as much as it is. As I said, it's moved the start date a little earlier, moved the end date a little earlier, and that was. And that was what he had said with their surveys and studies that they found on the climate affecting it. And I do believe that I've noticed that on our farm also. And I say that now, and next year it'll be cold until the end of March. and we'll be making syrup into the first.
But as long as you're making syrup, I don't care when it is. And it is a nice reminder that folks who are making syrup in Wisconsin, there are a number of potential benefits to reaching out to the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association to find out what they can do for you, and so that they can learn a few things from what you're doing and maybe learn a thing from you as well. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're busy, but I would invite you back anytime to talk maple syrup and maybe taste a little bit along the way.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to come back if you have me again. That'd be great.
You bet. Scott Cohn, dairy farmer, maple syrup producer in Medford, president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. That website again, wismaple.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.